You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 023 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Brad Jones, Daniel Pinto Gunderson here with you. Brad Jones, I don't even know how to say. He requested this song, and he was getting into it. This is a late recording of the podcast, by the way. I mean, it is late. I'm just getting back from Minnesota. Yeah. And by the way, you can find me on Twitter, at PintoKFGO. You can find Brad Jones.
At the Bison Guy.
You can make sure and email us, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. Leave your comments or questions on our KFGO.com podcast page, which you can find the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com. Or you can find us on iTunes at the Pinto and White Shadow Show. It is going to be.
It's
going to
be a weird show.
It's going to be an awkward show. It's going to get fully enveloped in a lot of awkwardness and weirdness.
Yes.
Like that hug between the teacher that you didn't really like in high school, but you just graduated and he was happy to see that you finally graduated. And he came up and gave you a hug.
I never had that. I had a teacher in fifth grade who gave me a hug because she had to give me a B on a report card and felt bad about it.
Who are you? it felt bad about it?
Yeah, she felt bad because I'd never gotten a B before.
And so she hugged you because
she gave me a B, and when she told me, like, when I was the only one after I was, I don't know, late for class or I had to grab something before basketball practice or something. And
it's getting real
just
weird
so
right now.
Bad.
It's getting real weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Even as like a fifth grader, you're going, what adult? I need an adult! I need an adult! This adult worries me.
No, don't be, we don't need to be smearing the good name of my fifth grade teacher, but I'm just saying.
Oh, that is weird. That is really just weird. And it's going to get awkward because it's really late. Nobody cares what time it is that we're recording this, but it's late. I just got back from Minneapolis.
You went to the Vikings game. Yeah.
Which, some days, you start out happy. I wear a Cowboy sweatshirt to the Vikings game because I'm not a Vikings fan. I'm a Cowboy fan, and I'm thinking, all right, let's go Vikings. I'm going to get the skulls going. I'm going to cheer. And all right, no AP, no Toby Gerhardt. So this game is just going to be awful. Matt Cassel, by the way, and Greg Jennings, great game for them. Be that as it may, Eagles get throttled. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Cowboys open up a 26-3 lead at halftime, something like that. Dan Bailey hits like 12,000 field goals in the first half.
Beautiful for my fantasy team that nobody cares about.
I'm thinking, all right, here we go. This is going to happen. The Cowboys are actually going to win this game in December, and they're going to make a run for the playoffs in the last two. And what happens?
Tony Romo happened.
No, it's not Tony Romo, though. It's not all about Tony Romo. First off, we could start with the fact that your defense can't get one dang stop in the second half. That's one part of it. The second part of it is that Tony Romo has a play call given to him on a 2nd and 6 with less than 3 minutes to go on your other side of the 50. It's a 2nd and 6, mind you. Your running back's been running for, I don't know, an average of like 12 yards per carry. 2nd and 6. They have one timeout. Did I mention it's 2nd and 6 and you decide to throw the ball? And yes, it was his fault they got intercepted because on that throw, he threw it behind Miles Austin. But you don't throw on 2nd and 6. You run the ball. And then Cole Bailey, finish your route. Keep going to the sidelines. Don't stop. Don't let the ball just get intercepted. So many issues.
You're starting to sound like the time you left me sitting out in the entryway for an hour.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, so many issues. So,
are you going to be okay? Take a deep breath. Deep breath. Take a drink. Drink of water. I think that's going to be helpful. Is there a leather couch here somewhere? We may need to do some therapy at some point.
I don't even know what to. I mean, Jason Garrett might end up on the hot seat of coaches this week just because of that game.
You're a little emotional right now.
I'm a little emotional.
And I'm really excited to see how much more of that I can exploit throughout this show.
By the way, by the time we get to the hot seat, maybe I've decided to keep him off it. We'll see.
Okay.
But we'll get to all of that and regional talk. But of course, first things first, we have to start out with
local.
And the biggest local news of the day, NDSU defensive coordinator Chris Kleiman will be the next head coach for the North Dakota State University football team when their run in the playoffs is done. And we'll get to when that might be in just a moment. But first, Brad, I asked you last week, we knew that NDSU would be without a head coach by the time the season ended. Now we know who that head coach, the next head coach, will be. Your thoughts on the hiring of Chris Kleiman?
I mean, it was not a real great kept secret.
No, and one thing worst
that,
kept secret.
Yeah, and one of the things that I thought was very interesting and that made a ton of sense was tweeted out by Jeff Kolpak at the forum. And he tweeted out, I don't know what day it was, Thursday or Friday, he said, it's got to be Kleiman, because if it wasn't, they would have announced that there's a national search going on.
Right.
And when you take a week to not say that, that's a pretty good indication that you've got your guy. And they had their guy, they made the offer, and he's going to be sticking around.
Well, I think more so than anything, they had who they wanted.
Yes.
Close by.
Yes.
They didn't have to go out and get him. And it was a matter of, does Kleiman want to be the head coach? Not so much, you know, we haven't opened it to a national search, so Kleiman will be the head coach. It was a matter of Gene Taylor was going to wait till Saturday after the game, let his coaches and everybody else do their work, and then talk to Kleiman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, like a lot of people said, right move.
Yes.
I mean,
I put out on Facebook earlier today that you don't break up the band when you've got the top song in the country. And you try to keep as much of it intact. And even though a part of the band may be going, you keep as much of it together as you can, because that the name still means something when you've got a couple of the guys still there.
I like it too. He's 46 years old, but there's so many things we can go with this, and we'll try to explore them all, because why not? First things first, he's going to try and keep the same offense and defensive methodology, if you will.
And that makes a ton of sense.
It does.
Because that's what you've been recruiting players to do. That's the system that they've been in. That's what you've been trying to teach the guys who are going to be coming back next year. That's what you've been teaching them for 1, 2, 3, you know, in a couple of cases, even 4 years. Don't take that away and all of a sudden shift, because that is the kind of thing that sets your program back a little bit. When you've got to turn over the roster to get players that fit that system in,
right?
You've got a lot of talent on this team. You're going to have talent coming back, and you've got more coming in. Make sure that those guys know that, hey, you know, maybe a different day, but the story's still the same. We're still going to do what we do and do it better than anybody.
The second you mentioned recruits,
yeah,
how many of those stay committed? How many of those say, you know what, I'm going to stay with the program now because the head coach is a familiar name, a familiar mm-hmm. face that they've seen before, probably talked to a lot of the defensive recruits. Now he's going to be the head coach. I know a lot of people are worried about Easton Stick is the name I keep hearing, a recruit quarterback out of Nebraska who highly rated in the state of Nebraska. These guys that they got out of that state were being talked to by the University of Nebraska. I mean, the
yep,
Cornhuskers
yep.
were looking at them saying, you know, maybe not scholarship worthy at this point, preferred walk-on. We'll see where your career goes. NDSU comes in and says, hey, look, we've got a scholarship waiting for you. You want to play for a national championship team? Here you go.
And it's an interesting clause that was in Bowles' contract that's been well reported as well, that he can't talk to any recruits or any people that he's been recruiting to NDSU for 1 year. And the other side of it, too, is starting, I believe tomorrow, there's a dead period for FBS schools for about a month. So FBS
yep.
schools can't talk to recruits. So not only does that take, you know, potentially Wyoming out, that takes out, you know, quite a few schools, and that's going to give the FCS schools a little bit of an advantage to still be able to at least have those conversations. Now, the Bison are set back a little bit by that with the fact they're still playing.
Right.
But they still they can make the phone calls, and they can still
able
do
to,
some of that.
You're still able to check in and say, hey, you know, things are going to be the same here.
Yep.
We're not going to change anything or the reasons why we recruited you. And, in fact, I'm going to try and get all these assistants kind of into place.
So does Chris Kleiman randomly start putting his own things in Bull's office now? I mean, does he start switching out some of the some of the stuff in his office?
Hey, coach.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when he's not there, you know, just peek around the corner, make sure that Bull's not in there, and then just kind of slide in something, one of your family pictures, maybe. I don't know. Do you do that?
It's a little. I mean, what do you do there? Hey, yeah. How you doing? I'm just gonna go ahead and put this book in here, and
or do you start, you know, getting some paint out on the walls?
Right.
Maybe, you know, make a couple of changes, take off a couple of pictures.
Yeah, I don't think the boxes are quite packed yet for this football team. Truthfully, I think they're all set in stone. But hey, it's a good question, because maybe Kleiman shows up one day and he's got a couple plaques and a box of stuff, and he goes, "Oh, I thought you were gonna be this is awkward. I thought you were gonna be in Laramie already.
Were you?"
Boy,
I mean, I thought.
Do you mind?
I mean, I'm just trying to get a jump on things. Yeah,
I hate moving. You know,
yeah,
so
I just want to get it over.
So yeah, again, it's a good hire and the right hire by Andy Assu, and a good job by Gene keep it in house, keep everything moving smoothly, and to be able to do it within a week time.
Yeah.
You know, and now that it is almost so perfect. I hate using the word perfect because nothing in life is, but it is almost too perfect how this is moving in an imperfect situation. All right, well, Bull's going to Wyoming, but he's going to still coach the team throughout the entirety of the playoffs whenever that ends. Okay, we would like to have our head coach named before the national championship game. I'm going to talk to Kleiman, who is probably top of the list.
Yep.
I'm going to see if he wants to stick around. Oh, you do? All right, you're the head coach. Here's the job offer. Boom, here we are. It worked out really well for NDSU.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Gene, I mean, here's the thing. Gene's got a pretty good track record as far as hires go.
Yeah.
His first hire was Bull.
Yep.
He hired Todd Brown, who turned around that baseball team pretty quickly.
Yes.
Did a wonderful job with that.
Yep.
He hired Roger Kish to replace Bucky Mon, and Kish has had the Bison ranked in the top 25 in wrestling.
Yep.
He hired Saul Phillips to replace Tim Miles. Saul took the team to the NCAA tournament, and he's recruited players that now are going to have at least a shot to make it again and beat Notre Dame this
week.
Right,
and we'll get to that.
We'll talk about that. I mean, the track record of his hires in the programs have been pretty good.
Yeah, pretty spectacular. So for him to go out climbing, I think it, again, is going to be something that's going to produce a good team. The other thing, too, he's not leaving the cupboard bare. I mean, everybody wants to talk about, oh, next year they're not going to be as good, and they won't be. I don't think, but you have to remember, 3/5 of the offensive line comes back. Your running back, John Crockett, comes back. You have wideouts, a lot of them that come back. I believe Raw is only a junior. You're going to have these guys that have been playing this year.
Smith and Moody, I think.
Don't
quote us on that.
Yeah,
but I think
we'll
that's
have to
it.
Check that out. But you still have a good ton of receivers. Your entire linebacking core comes back. Your entire secondary, minus Marcus Williams, will be back. The defensive line is going to be the biggest issue because they lose 7 of the 8 that they play a lot of. Outside of Kyle Emanuel, they're all gone. I know Hardy's gone. Jeremy Gordon's gone. Obviously, Levon Perry, Cole Zurich. Danny Lukey, actually.
Brian Schatz.
Both of them, I believe, are gone. That's a lot of depth at the defensive line to replace.
Yep.
And we haven't seen any of those younger guys getting shots to play. But the depth at linebacker, I think just by natural progression of these players, will increase, because you're going to have a lot of these guys like a Nick DeLuca and a PRG Tucker. They'll eventually step into their roles. And so the cupboard is not bare for Kleiman when he turns around. And so his biggest issue next year will be, all right, how do I make this defensive line as dominant as they've been for the last 3 years? Outside of that, I mean, I think they're pretty set. The other question is, what coaches does he retain?
Yeah.
You know, the comments out there were, well, Bull's taking Vegan and Kleiman and so on and so forth. Well, he's not taking Kleiman.
Well, I think the quote was, he's going to try.
He's going to try.
And I'm sure that he tried very, very hard to convince hard. It's going to be an interesting tug of war around the office.
I don't,
that's maybe characterizing it the wrong way, but I hope people understand what I mean with that. That it's going to be a real, because Coach Bull, you know, is going to say, hey, I want you to come with me. And Coach Kleiman's going to say, hey, I want you guys to stay right here. So do you start slipping gifts under the office doors of Brent Vegan? I mean,
don't mix up the doors, though. Maybe it's going to the wrong coach because you don't know where everybody's
true.
Going.
That's true. I mean, you know,
another
you slide,
awkward situation.
Slide a little Olive Garden gift card or something underneath
right,
the door.
Right, exactly.
Or a little card. Hey, I'd miss you. Please stay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like one of those singing cards or something.
Who knows? I think that for Vegan, it might be his time to move because, yeah, I thought about this a lot. And again, Vegan took a lot of the heat when NDSU was going 3-8, and offensively, it just seemed that they were pretty stagnant. The quarterback play was not that great. You know, you got to remember the defenses weren't that good either. I mean,
yeah,
there were some opportunities in those years. NDSU had shots to win games when they went 3-8, even 6-5, and they were losing because the defense couldn't come up with stops.
And Vegan took, and this is one of my big pet peeves with people who question play calling, because I've talked a little bit about this on the show before, but in general, I'm not going to question play calling because you know what's a brilliant play call? One that works. And, right. I mean, you can call the exact same play, and if it goes for, you know, if a handoff up the middle goes for a 15-yard run, then, oh, man, brilliant play call. And if it gets stuffed, what is he doing? Why can't he get more creative? And maybe part of the reason that he couldn't get real creative is because he didn't have the personnel to do it.
Right.
And now he's got the personnel to be able to go deep and to be able to run some of the end arounds and be able to mix it up a little bit more. That's part of it, too. I mean, as much as, you know, and people, another person that gets a lot of the blame for that is Nick Mertens.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Nick Mertens, you know, sometimes you hit and sometimes you miss. And Nick Mertens wasn't the quarterback that NDSU had hoped he would be. And, you know, you're only when you're a little bit limited at that spot, there's only so much you can do.
Murdy took
a little bit of the blame, of the blame as well.
I think that it went both ways. And I bet if you sat him down in a room and they asked him, you know, if you asked Vegan, would you have played to your strength a little bit better with Mertens, meaning he was more athletic than Walker, but it almost...
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, here's what I mean is that he wanted to use him as Walker, as more of a guy who could chuck it and throw it a little bit more, where in reality, you just needed him to be more of a Jensen, where start him out and let him run. He was such a big guy, and he was so athletic. The other part of it, too, is that... Murdy probably would tell you, "Hey, I should have played better."
Well,
I mean,
but anyway, we're kind of going
down
an interesting
track,
path.
Yeah, because that was back when we were in college, and that's what we got to saw after the Walker days was, and Vegan took a lot of the blame for that. So, NDSU fans would say, "Good riddance, see you later." But
and now all of a sudden, that my gosh, it seems like he's got a new kind of different wrinkle every single week that we played this year. A play that kind of makes you go, okay. I mean, every single week it seems like that there's been one play that's kind of made us raise our eyebrows a little bit that, man, that was drawn up really, really well.
And again, you're right. It comes down to the personnel you have, and a good quarterback makes you look really good
and
as an offensive play caller.
And when you got this personnel and you got the playmakers that they have, there's a lot of things that you can do that make you look really, really smart.
Exactly. But Vegan has been able to explore that in this offense. You know, everybody wants to talk about defense this and defense that. Let me throw some scores out at you with this NDSU team. They put 48 up on Coastal Carolina this weekend. They put 38 up on Furman last week, 42 on South Dakota, 35 on Youngstown, 56 on Indiana State, 41 on Missouri State, 31 including about 200 yards rushing in a quarter against Southern Illinois, 51 on Delaware State, and you know that play calling down the stretch against Kansas State. I mean, think about it. This offense is dynamic.
Yes.
And it has been growing. And Vegan has done a good job of calling plays. So he does take the blame, and I don't think it's fair. And I think we both don't think it's fair. But the original question was, does he go? I think he's gone. Because if you're just going to be an offensive coordinator for the rest of your life, do you want to be an offensive coordinator at an FCS school? Or do you want to have that opportunity to get a little bit more pay and go to another level and see where it goes? There are going to be some coordinators like Kleiman that say, I want my shot at a head coach. Here's my opportunity. There's some coordinators that say, I want to be in his camp for the rest of my career.
And honestly, if you know, where are you more likely to get noticed and get a head coaching job? At an FBS school or an FCS school? And the answer is an FBS school.
Right.
If he performs well out there, if he has aspirations to be a head coach and his offenses turn things around in Wyoming, because really the offense is his show. Bowles is a defensive guy.
Yep.
The offensive game plan comes from Brent Vegan.
Yes.
And so if the offense does well there, he'll get a shot somewhere.
Yep. And I think Bull wants to stay with Vegan because he feels comfortable with the style of offense he runs, which is Vegan wants to run the ball 40 times a game. And that's fine with Bull because Bull wants to recruit guys that want to go out and smash helmets and smash pads, and Vegan likes it too. They work well together.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting question to ask Vegan what his general career aspirations are, because like you said, when you're the offensive coordinator for a defensive-minded head coach,
right.
You kind of get, and Vegan took some of the blame. But eventually it all falls on the shoulders of your head coach.
Right.
So you kind of get to stay. You don't have to answer the questions at press conferences. We saw a very testy Craig Bull at this past Saturday's press conference. Which was interesting. But you know, you don't have to do that as an offensive coordinator.
No.
And for some people, it's kind of appealing. You know what? I can do my job. I get to run that side of the ball. I don't really have the head coach looking over my shoulder a whole lot. You know, when Craig Bull is, when the Bison are on offense, just watch Coach Bull and what he does. Because it's, honestly, he's worrying about the timeout decisions, about those kind, about do I go for it on fourth down from here?
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that he's worried about. The play-to-play, the personnel, who's going in and out. He doesn't. I mean,
no.
It's Vegan. That's Vegan's job.
Exactly.
And there's, like I said, there's, I think there's a lot of draw to that for somebody, and I could see why that would be appealing.
The other thing that I want to say, and this is kind of, I've been thinking about it a lot the last couple days.
You've been doing a lot of thinking.
Been doing a lot
like.
Of thinking. Well, I've been doing a lot of driving.
Okay.
And I've been trying to keep my mind off of the Dallas Cowboys. Second and six. Under 3 minutes
okay,
to go.
Okay,
sorry.
We'll get back. We'll get there.
Why not, and this is going to seem so weird, the guy who puts together these videos for NDSU, Casey Byers. If I'm Coach Bull, I take him with me because I think he's a good recruiting chip.
Interesting.
Because nowadays a lot of kids want to know what your program's about, and they don't have to drive all the way to Fargo to check it out or to Laramie, Wyoming. You've seen the videos. People who listen, go to GoBison.com. Just check out some of the videos he does. They're really cool.
Yeah.
And for kids that are 16, 18 years old, they're going, that's awesome. It makes a program look maybe better than they are. Mm-hmm. Maybe like they have a little bit more going for them than they do. I like it to trailers of a movie. You kind of get sold on a movie by a trailer. Byers puts together really good stuff. He puts this together. Kids are going, boy, this looks like a really good product. Oh, that looks like a lot of fun. Hmm. That's something that I could really get into.
I'm kind of proud of you, Dan. That's a really interesting take. I hadn't thought about that. I think that's interesting.
And I know that it's really kind of far out there. Yeah. A lot of people are going to be like, whatever. They don't care about that. They care about scheme. But how do you get these recruits to get interested? That's how you start out. I think what he's done for NDSU has made them look higher level. When you go on other websites, other athletic websites, you don't see what NDSU has on their website when it comes to video production. You don't. Simple as that. If he goes with them, and I know he's such a small part of what they do, and he's not football specific.
Yep.
But I mean, I think it would be in Bull's best interest to say, hey, look, I could have a spot for you in the Wyoming athletics department, and figure it out. He's got the pull to coordinate something like that. So it's just a thought. I don't know if it'll happen. And I'm very good friends with Casey. I would say that. So I would have no problem asking him and saying, you know, this is my thought. That's just it's one of those things that I thought about this week that kind of made sense in my head. He's got a great video put together of the Coastal Carolina win, which, I mean, we'll get to now. I don't know if there's much left to discuss about Klieman leaving and Bull leave, or Klieman staying, Bull leaving. We've covered it.
Yeah.
I mean,
we could dive into the other assistant coaches, but really the one people care about is Vegan.
Right.
So it will that'll all play out after the season is over for NDSU.
NDSU with a 48-14 win over Coastal Carolina. They completely dominated them in the first half. Were you surprised by the first half domination? Because NDSU was such a second half team. Were you surprised by the way they came out?
I mean, Coastal Carolina had a bad defense.
Yeah.
And the Bison just came out swinging. I mean, is it usual? No, but defenses are a little bit better in the Missouri Valley than what they are with some of these other teams. So, I mean, while it's maybe not what we're used to seeing, it's not exactly a surprise either. And I think I think the armchair analysis that I think is lazy and really easy to make, and I don't know if I'm insulting you before you make your point or not, but I think the analysis is, oh, well, you know, they wanted to come out and make a statement that the distractions weren't there wasn't any distractions, that they were ready to go, and I don't know that there was any of that went along with it. They just came out, and there's a poor defense, and they came out, and they hit them right away.
I think there was a point made by Christian Dudzik in the post-game press conference. He said that the coaches had shown them and told them that Coastal Carolina kept talking about how NDSU hadn't faced an offense like this.
Mm.
And I think that got under their skin a little bit, saying, doesn't matter what your offense is like, we're still going to roll you. And it was a domination from start to finish. Yeah. I think Alex Ross spent more time on his back in the game than he did. And that kid's a very confident kid. I'll say confident.
Okay.
In that press conference, he seemed to not... If you were to ask him to give how much respect to NDSU, he'd say, well, yeah, but it was more so that we didn't do our part unless what they did. He was
one of those
guys.
Well, that's and what I understand that.
I understand that's
the way he presented
talk.
It was a little different.
Yeah, yeah. It was. And he wasn't impressed with NDSU's crowd.
Well, here's the thing, and I actually had a chance to visit with one of the writers for Coastal Carolina,
Ryan Young,
and asked him what the team was more sick of hearing about, because they had to spend a week hearing about, oh gosh, that weather up there in Montana is going to be real tough on you guys. And
right.
Then they listen to that for a week, and then they beat Montana, so kind of like, okay, can we be done with this? Now we got to hear about, oh my gosh, the Fargo Dome's so loud. It's going to be so hard to play. You're not going to be able to hear anything. You know, at some point, you know, you just say, you know what? We've won 10 games. We went on the road and beat a ranked team in the playoffs. Can we please just play the game and not worry about all this other stuff? So my guess is any of us would have been tired of hearing about that at some point. And it's an angle that the local media likes to play up.
Yeah, I played it up. I thought it was an interesting comment.
I mean, but they would tend to play up the fact that, oh my gosh, it's really, really noisy in here, and it's got to be impossible to do anything in there.
Yeah.
That angle is kind of played up probably a little bit more. As much as I love the fans and think we've got one of the best environments in college, in FCS football, slow your roll a little bit. You know, I mean, it's not like this is the only place on the planet that gets loud.
Oh my, he's on fire.
Don't send me any hate mail. Okay. Again, I'm not taking anything away from the crowd. I'm just saying that angle's probably a little overplayed.
This could be deadly.
He thought Montana was louder than the Fargo Dome.
That was a shot. I think that was a shot.
I felt like that was a shot too. However, I tend to agree with him in a sense that the crowd wasn't into it, but when you're up, what was it at halftime? Yeah. You know, whatever.
Some of the
to seven
section had already started clearing out. Yeah. It was a playoff game.
Like 34-7 at halftime. Yeah. Hard to blame you. And where Coastal Carolina came up with like 3/4 of their offensive production in one drive. Yeah, that was it just did not look good for CCU. They didn't look comfortable from the onset. And that has a lot to do with the way the defensive line came out.
Yeah.
It really
did.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing is the offense made big plays right away. The defense came out hitting, and all of a sudden, when you blink and you're down quickly, it's a tough hole to dig out of.
So now NDSU will move on to play the University of New Hampshire.
So disappointed. I had so many Waterboy jokes ready to go, playing the South Central Louisiana State University Mud Dogs, and they lost.
Yeah.
So you didn't even give me anything in our email write-up. That was so good. They lost scholarships. They had announced that they had lost scholarships for playing ineligible players. That's the big part of the plot to the Waterboy movie. It was so perfect. And you gave me nothing. You gave me okay, ... and then moved on to the next game.
I was going
to
move on
Come
to the
on.
Next game.
Come on.
I'm not going to give you Bobby Boucher cred unless it happens.
It wasn't just Bobby Boucher. It was Red Bull U. It was Vicky Valancourt. I dropped references all up and down. I had a Coach Klein. And my mama says reference. Everything.
Jeez. You were on fire. No doubt about it. Well, New Hampshire is coming. I'm going to call them New Hampshire.
Oh,
either way, I believe its pronunciation is correct.
You're mispronouncing states now?
Hampshire. Oh. Same thing. It's the same thing.
Yep. Okay. Anyway. Do you know what the capital of New Hampshire is?
Is it Concord?
There you go.
I know my state's a capitals, too. Well, this team, the Wildcats, come in. They're hot right now, honestly. They had to essentially play their way in after losing to William & Mary 17-10, beat James Madison, beat Albany, beat Maine twice in 2 weeks. Very good Maine team, by the way. And then Southeastern Louisiana did it very late in that game, a come-from-behind win for the Wildcats. A CAA team, which, if I remember right, I don't think NDSU has played a CAA team since the James Madison game in the playoffs. And I'll try to – Lehigh was Patriot. Georgia Southern twice was SoCon. And they opened up last year with – who did they have in that first round last year? They had
– was it Wofford?
Wofford and Georgia Southern, but who was before that? Dead air.
We're getting old.
Dead air.
That's not good for a podcast.
No,
right?
It's not good. Okay. Let me check that out, because the reason I bring it up is because the CAA is one of these conferences that East Coast fans and East Coast people that are really into FCS will go, oh, South Dakota State. Why couldn't we remember that? People will go, yeah, the CAA is the premier conference of the FCS, and they've got all the good football out there. Well, you know, the Missouri Valley's been winning championships the last 2 years, and frankly the Southland Conference has really ripped apart anybody else up until, you know, this year. They got three teams in and really didn't do much with it. Southeastern Louisiana had a shot. Be that as it may, it's always interesting when you get a CAA team matched up against a Missouri Valley, which I think are the two best conferences in the nation. And here we go again in New Hampshire. They're a team that's on a hot streak, but they're not a seeded team. They came from the first round. Is it going to be another one of the same? I mean, we don't know much about the Wildcats at this point, but a Friday night game, it's not a quick turnaround. They're playing with in Louisiana today because of weather. Or I believe, I'm assuming it's weather if it wasn't mechanical problems.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I believe, yeah.
Doesn't matter. They were still in Louisiana. Quick week, quick turnaround. NDSU was used to this. They did it last year. But again, they've beaten good teams. I need to do more research, but does it give you a little bit of that kind of...
The thing, and I think I've said this a couple times on the podcast, I'm worried because I'm just not worried.
I know, I'm saying, should we be worried? Because I don't even feel worried.
Because we keep setting these, we play this game, and I'm sure we'll do it again here, of, okay, what do I have to set the line at for you to start thinking about,
maybe I'm going
to grab the points.
Right.
And every time that we've played that game, you've grabbed NDSU, and I've said, maybe at that point I'll take the points, and I've been wrong every single time.
Right.
Every single time. Because NDSU just comes out and they just keep putting a hurting on people. Now, a question will be, how healthy are the Bison? Is that Bison defense?
A lot of shoulder injuries.
Yeah. I mean, how healthy is
Colton Hegel most specifically? Because I think Jurek's okay.
Yep. Jurek came back in.
Jurek came back in. Jensen's just fine. He threw a touchdown after he hurt his shoulder.
Well, it wasn't his shoulder.
No, it was his head.
It was his head.
Here was the other thing, too, I thought about in the press conference. When I asked him that question, I said, how's his shoulder? He goes, well, it wasn't the shoulder, it was the head. Had my bell rung a little bit, blurry vision, but I came to the sidelines. Nobody gave him a test. He just stood off to the side.
Really? Okay, I didn't notice that.
Never took his helmet on. Nobody was giving him the arm test or making, you know, follow the finger. He just stood to the side. So one thing that happens with concussions is you'll get your bell rung, and then you'll feel okay, and then it'll come a little bit later.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see on Monday. I know they'll have a press conference on Monday to ask Bull again, how's Jensen it? Any more lingering concussion symptoms, and Colton Hegel too. Because
Hegel's a guy that we talked about when Olsen went out. That
right. He was important.
Important because he's their nickel cornerback. When they go, because he
played, Shepard is the nickel corner.
Well, but when they go nickel, they put Shepard in at safety, and they move Hegel to the corner. No, they do. Every time. Whenever Shepard comes in, he goes back to safety, and they pull Hegel up.
No, yeah, you're right. Now that I think about it, about the formations.
I mean, so he does that. Yeah. He's basically another, I mean, he would probably be a backup linebacker almost.
Yes, almost.
I mean, he's the one guy that you don't want to miss. And especially against, a team with a fairly high-powered offense.
32 points a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. The other thing about it, though, too, is they lost him last year. for a majority of the season, and they adapted just fine. All those players are back, especially. But again, they had Grant Olson. That's true. They had Grant Olson.
Do we dive into that now?
Sure, why not?
I mean, Grant Olson potentially could play in the national championship game if the Bison make it.
How crazy would that be? Would he be effective? Is it just one of those things where he's the leader of a team if he got to dress up and then he's out there for a play?
And
that's just enough.
When Kolpak tweeted it out, he hashtag Willis Reed-esque or something like that.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't seem like something that this team would necessarily need.
Right.
But, man, the guy tore his ACL. Okay, Adrian Peterson did something that people are pretty sure is not human, and that people started saying, "Is this guy on? Is this guy taking steroids? Is he doing something illegal to get back?
Right?
Because he came back so quickly, and that was what, 8 months, eight and a half months. When I read that, it blew my mind. Blew my mind that it would be even a remote possibility. Because you tore your ACL, you're done.
Right. He tore it against Illinois State, which was back on, that is the wrong year, back on early or late November, middle of November. Come on, Brad, help me out.
Illinois State was November 9th.
Thank you. So November 9th, so it's been a month. You have the surgery, you get it repaired.
It's been a month.
But again,
superhero Dr. James Andrews out there somewhere.
But again, it's...
with pixie dust using it on his scalpel.
I'll say this and I'll stick with it. If they get to the national championship and if he plays, it's one play.
Yeah, I think so too.
And it's a play.
And maybe it's just I'm going to dress because and maybe I'm not going to play. I'm just going to stand on the sideline. But something, I'm going to dress.
Right. And that'll be it. And the fact that the guy has been with the team through everything, has been an important part of the team for the last 4 years, for him to dress would be huge.
Yeah.
Not that they would need the emotional help, but it's... the potential for this year and this team to have so many storylines going into the end of it is just unreal. I mean, it's almost too perfect, especially when you look at the other side of the bracket with Eastern Washington taking on Towson on Saturday.
Yeah.
If Eastern Washington gets the national championship and ADSU gets the national championship, I don't know if I'd be able to sleep. I'd just be up all night writing just, oh my goodness, can it come full circle like you said?
Yeah.
It'd just be, there's so many things out there, so many storylines. So... yeah, Grant Olson was warming up before this game, and yeah, he'll probably do the next same thing on Friday.
But really, I just hope we have Bison assistant coach Grant Olson next year. That's what I really want to see.
And I think it'll happen.
I think so too.
I think it'll happen.
I don't know what his major is, but I'll maybe take a look at that here real quick. But I think at the very least, at least grad assistant. But I think he might be another one of the guys. You know, we've talked about. We've talked about some of the current coaches that are going to be pulled in different directions to try to see if they want to go to Wyoming or if they want to stay at NDSU. I bet Grant Olson might be a guy on that list as highly as Craig Bohl has talked about him.
Right.
He's majoring in industrial engineering. So, I mean, yeah, smart dude. If you're doing engineering and football.
Even if he doesn't go on to football, his life will be set
with
an industrial engineering degree. The guy, the linebackers coach, Steve Stannard, I believe I'm pronouncing that right.
Probably not, but that's par for the course for you.
I apologize. He would be a guy that maybe moves up if some other people go on. Who are the people that were mentioned that would go with Bohl? There was
Scotty Fuchs.
Yep, Fuchs, offensive line coach.
Kenny Burns, the recruiting coordinator, wide receivers coach. I know those two for sure. I'm not sure about
anybody else.
The rest of them.
Okay. So you see some people maybe moving up, maybe moving on, who knows? And there's an opportunity for him to squeeze in. We could get into how many coaches come from this senior class. I mean, does Brock Jensen have a real shot at an NFL career?
No.
Guy was a quarterback for 4 years, grad assistant, if he wants. I mean, if coaching, we're going down a real deep, which could take up hours of the podcast if we wanted to just dive into that.
I'm too old for that.
But Grant Olson, I think at this point, especially now that Klieman is there and he's going to have openings at assistant positions, presumably. I don't think he goes right to
D-coordinator.
Yeah, right, or D-tackle even coach. I think he goes to where John Richardson's at, maybe, defensive assistant.
Yeah.
I think I could see that.
Sure.
But, again, I think that'll happen. Even so, this New Hampshire game, as we got way off track.
Okay, so
let's look at it. They give up 20 points a game. They average 32 points a game. Another one of this high offense, no defense.
Margin of victory is by about 12.
So two touchdowns. NDSU, oh, you're funny. God.
It took you a while to realize that I was...
being facetious? Yeah, I get it. NDSU's margin of victory is like 3-4 touchdowns, something like that when it comes to... So what are we setting the line at, kind of?
Yeah, what do I have to say? If I said you can have NDSU minus 17...
I would say UNH covers that.
You would take... Okay, you'd grab the points there.
Yeah.
If I said NDSU minus 14...
I would take that.
You would take...
NDSU.
Okay, yeah. So that's where you see the value is... Okay, so somewhere in that 14 to 17
touchdowns,
range.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody plays defense in the FCS. You watch those games this week.
I watched the Towson Eastern Illinois game.
No one's playing defense in this division of football.
No.
NDSU plays both defense and offense. Which sounds so funny, but that's what sets them apart, is because their defense actually is really good, where other defenses are just pieced together with guys that are probably athletic. You know, oh yeah, sure, just play linebacker. You're fast. NDSU gets good quality players at positions and depth. It just, to me, after last week, I was talking to a buddy of mine who used to go to NDSU. He goes, well, what do you think it's going to be? I said, I feel like it's going to be close. I sent my Pintos preview on KFGO.com. I said 27-21. This is the game that worries fans the most. 48-14.
Yep.
Nothing past that. I don't see NDSU having any trouble with anybody else past that. I really don't. CAA be danged. Who do they play in the national title game?
I mean, if you'd asked me last week, I'd have said Eastern Illinois. So,
right.
I mean, you have to pick Eastern Washington, don't you?
Oh.
You don't?
Terrence West is a beast.
Eastern Washington.
Yeah. Eastern Illinois didn't play defense, and they had a great quarterback. Vernon Adams.
Yeah.
He's a great quarterback. Another Walter Payton Award finalist along with West. Some of those cuts West was making on a really crappy field. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And now he's got to do it on a red field.
Yeah.
Presumably heading out to Eastern Washington. I think Towson is a good team if they're able to run their offense the way they want to, which is running the ball with West quite a bit. I think they will. Towson. I'll take it.
You're going to take Towson right now. Perfect. I'm going to take Go ahead and take Eastern Washington.
Boom, lock it in. We haven't had an
ongoing wager. Okay, yeah,
in a
while. I'll take that.
Speaking of, I believe you've capitalized on quite a few.
We need to find on the ongoing wagers page. You don't have. We made four on Brock Jensen in like the first or second week.
Let's open this up right now because, I mean, we're talking NDSU heavy.
Yeah.
We're 45 minutes into this thing. We're still on NDSU, which is fine because there's a lot to.
Yeah.
We still have to get to the men's basketball team.
Yes.
And the women's basketball team, maybe not so much, but I think we talked about it pre-production.
Which does nobody any good.
No,
but that's
it doesn't.
Fine.
But it was an interesting idea that you had taught that I had asked you about.
Yeah.
Coach Carolyn Diehoff and her job. Where are you? There you are. Okay. So we made a few bets on NDSU. Blah blah blah. I think there was one. First and second all MVC.
Yep.
Team, you won that.
Straight cash, homie.
I didn't think one receiver would make more than 55 receptions. You did. You got that.
Rod did in the first half.
Still waiting for Crockett to get over 1,000 yards.
He isn't yet.
He's
I'm going to lose
not,
that one. That one's
still,
yours.
Yeah, it's good. Although it was really odd. They must have saw something in CCU's defense. They wanted Ojuri more than Crockett. Because Ojuri alluded to that in the post-game press conference saying he had 11 more carries than Crockett. Plus, he's in back-to-back series.
Yeah.
A little odd. For Vegan in this offense to do that, they usually like to go
every other
tit for tat, and then you know Crockett here, Ojuri there, but they didn't. And Ojuri had a big game.
Yep.
That one's mine. Let's see if there's any other ones.
I don't know if you put them on the site because I know we had four. We had a number on yards, which I got. We had a number on touchdowns, which I got. We had a number on interceptions.
Well,
I think we had the number at like 7.5 or 8.5.
I don't know if the yards one I took, but I knew I took the touchdowns and interceptions.
Yep, and touchdowns I have. Interceptions I think you had under and I had over, and I think
you had over on both, I had under on both, so I'm still good.
Yeah.
But if he throws, I want to say one more interceptions or two.
One or two, yeah.
I lose.
Yep.
So it might be a push there.
And I thought we had one on rushing touchdowns as well.
No.
No?
Nope.
Am I making that up?
Yes.
Okay.
You are making that up. Outside of that, I don't see many other things. I've got a few wins in here, actually, though.
I've been gaining ground. I think I've passed you now.
Well, I'm looking at three. There's one for you. There's two for you. There's four for me, push, and then three for you, and then now four. So we're tied.
We're tied? Okay.
Four all.
Okay.
Which, it's getting interesting, though, as we get down to the season. But I'll most likely take the 1,000-yard rusher. We have a lot of AFC, NBA stuff that's still – this might just be going all the way until – so it just
Why
might
not?
Encompass 1 year.
I like it.
If this is still ongoing.
That's right.
At that point, too. Hey, we've made it 23 episodes, so.
We have. You didn't start out with
0-2-3.
I
did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I stopped
You were listening to Mariah Carey.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I was a little distracted.
That was your point.
That's my bad.
NDSU men's basketball team, before we get on to other stuff.
How
big is the win over Notre Dame?
Oh, what an easy question.
I get a lot of people overblowing it.
The name Notre Dame is about as big a name as you can get, regardless of how good they are, just because of the exposure, because of the religious background of a lot of people in North Dakota. Maybe you as well.
No.
Okay.
Presbyterian.
Okay.
But go on.
I think that name Notre Dame carries a lot of weight. Even my dad, who's not Catholic, never been Catholic, he still, you know, he still pays attention to Notre Dame.
That's how big their football program is because
they made the
university
team. Yeah, but the school. Okay, I'm sorry. I see the point you were making.
Yeah, they make the school, regardless of what they do, huge.
Mm-hmm. Been on their campus, by the way. Gorgeous campus.
Oh, I'd love to go.
Yeah.
My brother is married to a family of doctors,
okay.
He married into a family.
Yep.
His wife isn't a doctor, but her brothers and sisters are doctors, nurses, whatever. They all went to the University of Notre Dame.
Wow. Yeah, it's a beautiful campus.
Yep.
But I mean, so I think that there's a part of that, especially in this area, that the Notre Dame name still carries a little bit of weight. And maybe it carries less weight for people our age, more weight for people a little bit older than us.
Where would you put this win? Dom Izzo, I'll give him credit, put out a blog about ranking the wins, and he had it exactly how I thought it would go. Win over Oakland as one, getting to the NCAA tournament. Win over Wisconsin as two, because they were a higher rank. It was either Wisconsin or Marquette.
I think he had Marquette two.
But he had Wisconsin as three, Notre Dame four.
Or was it the other way around? I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then the Oral Roberts game, which clinched the Summit League title regular season-wise back in 2009, 2010. In Oral Roberts as five, and I knew that was going to be in there, and I hoped you would have put it in there because it was a huge win. That's how I view it. Do you view that Notre Dame being a top five program win for this team?
More or less, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a top five game they've ever played in.
No,
maybe not.
I would put the Kansas State game, which I believe was fall 2006 or fall 2007. Must have been fall 2006. I would put the Kansas State game when Bob Huggins came to Fargo.
Oh.
That game was crazy. I was actually front row student section of that game. It was crazy. And then I'd probably put the Kansas game in there too.
Okay. Yeah, those would be up there. The Indiana game.
Indiana game is kind of on par with Ohio State,
which they got throttled. Hey, they ended up being they ended up being on two receiving ends of some spectacular dunks from Ohio State. I saw that last night in the Sports Center
top
10.
Yeah, definitely on the top 10. Yeah.
I think we all kind of knew that was going to be the case.
That's, you know, I got a chance to talk to Saul yesterday as well and asked him, and one of my favorite questions, you'll beat Ohio State if, and then let him finish the sentence. And he said, well, it would help if Aaron Kraft got lost on the way to the arena. was the first thing he said. So, I mean, he knew it was going to be, you know, he knew it was going to be a struggle. And he said too, which was, I thought was interesting, this is the best team we've played against. You know, I think he said, since I've been here, this is the best team we've played against.
Better than Kansas,
better than
Indiana.
So I
which
thought
I'm
that
not
was,
surprised
I thought that was
at.
Interesting.
Indiana didn't do much in the NCAA tournament, I think the Sweet 16. And the Kansas team was a year removed from their national title. They had Sharon Collins and Cole Aldrich. And some other guys that probably went to the NBA that I can't remember. But it was a good team. It was a good game. But I think I want to say he's probably right. Defensively, I know he was real high on him. Because yeah, I got a chance to talk to him throughout the week, and he said defensively they're the best team in the nation.
Yeah.
And when you're a coach like Saul Phillips and you get exposed to that, that helps you out too because you get to pick things and go, okay, they did that really well. And your players know, hey, we're going to get a chance to compete at the top level. Let's see where we go. I think players, pride-wise, it's going to hurt because you're an athlete and you always want to compete. You always want to win.
But it's, I mean, the margin was less than 20, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean.
Which we thought it was going to be less than 20.
Yeah.
But it ended up feeling like it should have been more.
Yeah.
And I saw some of that game. So let's move on. NDSU's got a busy week. They've got a game on Monday against Delaware. Towson, something like that. They play a couple East Coast teams in the next couple days, which is kind of big for them. Some skilled teams. I mean, these are decent mid-majors. They're not scheduling, I apologize, Marcus and Mayville, but Mayville State and Valley City
You're
State.
Sorry.
Even though Mayville State is on the schedule.
Delaware on Monday, and then they've got Towson on
Sunday?
The 24th. First, whatever that day is.
Saturday.
Ooh, boy, that's a busy weekend.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, NDSU has the Friday night game on ESPN2.
Yep, for the football team.
For the football team, which we kind of figured it would be. I put out there in my blog that I do after every game that there was the percent chances of what it would be. And it was like a 60% chance in my mind if it was, or a 75% chance if it was NDSU. New Hampshire. And they got it. Not surprising there. Yep. So, okay.
It'll be a busy weekend because you got commencement on Friday afternoon in the Bison Sports Arena, football Friday night, basketball Saturday night. So
it's going to be fun.
And we didn't even talk about the BSA renovations going.
Oh, yeah, that went through. Well, because it goes through, it was going to be, I think it was one of those things that was going to happen. And it is.
Which we've been saying that for 7 years.
Not the whole renovations but in general, yes, but the process it was going
just
through.
Kind of a note. Just wanted to make sure that we at least touched on that it was, it's finally happening.
Shovels are going to be in the ground shortly, and I think Saul Phillips will be front and center for that one because he's excited. And who knows how long he'll be around to see it go. You know, I mean, he's the next coach up.
Yep. I talked to him about that as well. So
and NDSU's program, he's the next coach up when it comes to moving on. Let's get to
regional.
Want to talk about the NFC North and the Packers are still alive by the grace of the Cowboys.
You're
welcome, Packer fans. What else do you want? We are horrible.
Do you want me to just put my feet up here for a little bit and let you go
I think I got it out in the.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not like most fans where I'll sit and sulk about it for hours on end. You don't have to. Nice pants, by the way. What are those? Those are disgusting. You've got a stain on the bottom. It's like
it's paint.
They're like cream colored and not even all the way down. And
they were white at one point.
Those are the same shoes you had when you were a practice squatter for the women's basketball team, weren't you?
No, these are actually.
Are they worse than that? Did you have those in high school?
No, I didn't. I got these in college, and I bought them off of East Bay, and they ended up being turf shoes, which I didn't realize when I bought them. So now I just wear them when I just need to go out somewhere, but.
Oh, my word. You are a pitcher. Ladies, this man is single, and you need to get on this right now because he's a hot commodity out there.
Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, Packers are still in it. Do you still have the Lions winning this division at this point? Cutler's back. Bears won. Or did they? Yeah, they won. My bad. Bears are in first. Do you still have the Lions? They have a game tomorrow against Baltimore, or today, depending on when you listen to this, or, yesterday.
Can I give a terribly unpopular answer for sports radio?
What's that?
I don't have the first freaking clue. I have no idea. Well, I'm going to stop pretending to with this division. I have idea.
Here's a better question. Does anybody out of the NFC North or East make it past the first round of the playoffs? Because I think it's going to be South and West in the second round. And the championship game.
Let's see. Because San Francisco is going to have one of the wild cards, and I will.
Carolina will have the other one too.
Yeah,
it's going to be the division winner will go to the playoffs, and it'll be
both division winners might be underdogs in the
opening
first round.
Yeah, because they'll have to take on San Fran and or New Orleans or Carolina. That's going to be a tall task.
Yeah.
Although, the one benefit you have if you're say Philadelphia is pitted against San Francisco, you get the home game. And San Francisco has to travel all the way east, which is never good with West Coast teams.
True.
There is that advantage.
But, I mean, I would pick San Francisco in that game.
Oh, I would too, because we saw today Philly doesn't play defense. Nobody's playing defense in either of these divisions. I think that was a question worth asking, but I think that's about it.
I don't know. I don't know that it matters in the grand scheme of things,
but I
have no idea.
It won't. I don't think we have much left to talk about regionally.
No. Other than the Vikings, 48 points. They're the running back, and I don't even remember his name because it really doesn't matter.
And no one will.
Asiata. Did you see his line?
Yeah, 3 touchdowns, 15 carries, 54 yards.
No. 30 carries, 54 yards, 3 touchdowns.
He had 30 carries. I was at that game, and he had 30 carries. Well, that
30 carries, 51 yards, 3 touchdowns.
That was
his longest rush was for 10 yards, which means on 29 of his carries went for 41 yards.
That was one of my thing. That was one of the things when I got back. It was my girlfriend's brothers had these tickets. They're season ticket holders to the Vikings, and we went to his place in Sartell after, and I said, you know, I'm looking at the stats. DeSean Jackson had how many yards? Greg Jennings had how many catches?
Yeah.
Nick Foles threw for how many yards? I mean, I'm there at the game, and I'm not even realizing how huge this game is offensively. You just kind of got lost in it all. It might have helped that I had some beers in me. But, I mean, even so, I tend to be kind of aware of what is going on game-wise, and I'm 30 carries?
30 carries, 51 yards.
Wow.
That's Leroy Horde-esque right there.
3 touchdowns, though.
Exactly. That's Leroy Horde-esque right there.
He would be...
averaging less than 2 yards a carry.
Somebody out there picked him up because they knew that neither of those two guys are going to play, and they put him on their roster for the fantasy football and are doing a dance right now because the guy had 3 touchdowns. Forget the yards. Give me touchdowns.
Between that and Kirk Cousins, you could have had a real strong backup day or waiver wire day in fantasy.
Oh, I know. It would have been unbelievable. Let's move on to...
National.
You got that much planned, huh?
I know. I'm just trying to think of what I want to start with here. Do I want to start with playoff pitcher? Do I want to start for the NFL? Or do I want to start with coaches on the hot seat for the NFL?
You want to do the hot seat because you love it.
I do.
I can tell.
All right. Start at 3. I want you to start because I'm still thinking about this. I'm still percolating.
You're still percolating?
Yes.
Percolating.
Percolating.
Now, there's no U in percolating. The grammatical lessons that I have to give are just incredible sometimes.
It's the wrong week to quit drinking.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Okay. You know, it's interesting
percolating?
Because
I thought it was percolating.
Because you look at this list. Remember when... and I'm blanking on Miami's coach's name.
Joe Philbin.
Philbin. Remember when he was going to be, he might even not even make the end of the season.
And then they beat New England today?
Oh, yeah, they had issues. Nobody even thinks about that anymore.
It's because they're winning games.
Winning will
erase anything.
They've
won 3 in a row.
Crazy.
I know.
And picking off
New England.
Tom Terrific on a last-second drive in the end zone, I mean... Yeah, that's pretty good. Number 3 spot on my hot seat, I think is going to go to Tennessee.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to go to Tennessee with that one.
Okay.
Mularkey, I believe, is the coach there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Arizona tried really hard to give them that game today. They kick an onside kick that with a minute left.
Oh, I know. I saw
Larry
that.
Larry Fitzgerald just gets blown up on, hands the ball back, and Arizona ends up winning the game in overtime. I think he's my number 3 guy.
Okay.
He's one that's been kind of on the fringe, but I think he's got that spot now. He's bumping off Leslie Frazier for me, actually.
Yeah, I have Leslie Frazier off this list. I might go NFC East heavy on this list.
Okay.
Because there's
going to be some anger. Is this where the anger is going to come back?
Yeah, okay. I feel it. Well.
Number 3.
I'm thinking.
Come on.
I'm going to go.
Do it. Put your boy on there. Do it. I know you want to do it. Come on.
I do so badly.
He's already been announced that he's coming back next year.
Mike Smith, Atlanta. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to go Mike Smith, Atlanta. I'll keep Tom Coughlin and Jason Garrett off of it. 4-8, They haven't had a good year.
They won today.
They've been disappointing. They're 1-6 on the road. They've given up almost 400 points. They have one of the worst defenses in the
That's a team with a NFC. Lot of talent, and that's going to have a really high draft pick that could they could
turn it
swing
around
quickly.
Right.
Okay, so you're going Mike Smith.
And Mike Smith at three.
He's never been on my list, and won't be on there because I think he's coming back.
Okay. Who's two on yours?
The guy that he beat today, Shanahan.
Yeah, Shanahan's two.
Shanahan's toast.
Yeah,
he
is. Even though he says he wants to come back next year.
Well, of course.
Dan Snyder is not going to let that happen.
No.
That he's done.
Toast.
And he's benching RG3, who's fully healthy. And according to him, he's fully healthy. So, yeah. Shanahan's my number two. Number one. Should we say it together? One, two, three. Shiano.
Yeah.
He's God.
He's gone. He's just not, you know, he'd won a couple games there, but the 49ers lit him up today.
Yep.
Trying it was nice when they tried that little reverse on the kickoff that they ended up handing San Francisco a touchdown on. I don't know if you saw the highlights of that. They're down, I think, one score. They try a reverse on a kickoff. They botch the exchange. One of the 49ers players picks it up at the 5-yard line and does a waltz into the end zone.
My goodness.
It was so fantastic and just so brutal to watch. But yeah.
Okay. So those are our coaches on the hot seat. Let's look at playoff pitcher in the NFC. Seattle's going to be the number one, I believe. Well, nope. Yeah, I think they are.
Pretty much.
I think they are.
Because, I mean, New Orleans is 10-4, two games behind them, and Seattle holds the tiebreaker by virtue of beating them. So.
Okay, so there you go. Seattle's one. They clinched it today with the New Orleans loss, which to the Rams. And it wasn't even close. It was just a dominating win by the Rams, which good for them. We're happy for you. So it'll be one. New Orleans and Carolina. I mean, I don't know who the two is.
Well, New Orleans beat Carolina last week.
And then they have a game.
They play this week, this coming week. So
in Carolina.
Yes. So, I mean, if New Orleans wins, that'll all but or well no that if New Orleans wins, they
That's
lock
it.
Up the division.
Yeah, they lock up the division.
And Carolina, both teams hold their own destiny.
Right. They'll win out and you're the number two seed.
Yeah, it's win out for Carolina. It's just win this one.
Win this
for
one
Orleans.
For New Orleans. New Orleans. New Orleans.
Whatever.
Nolens,
yeah.
So three is good right now, Philadelphia, Chicago's four, Carolina five, and San Fran six. San Fran would head to Philadelphia. I know I asked about the NFC North earlier. Do you see Arizona sneaking in at all? Quick yes or no?
No.
Do you see Carolina or San Francisco losing a first-round game? Yes or no? Caroline. I wish I knew a Caroline.
If you're saying me... Because they're playing... pick one, or if you're asking me to say, will one of the two?
Pick one. Who would be more likely to lose that first-round game?
I would say Carolina would be more likely to lose. I would probably, if I was going to choose, and this is going to make absolutely no sense... if you were going to ask me to pick each game individually, I would pick Carolina and I would pick San Francisco.
Right.
But if you said,
"Oh no, it makes sense,"
if you say I have to have them both, then I would say no. I'd say one of them is going to lose.
Okay, if Nolens has a road game, do they make it out of the first round? They're a different team when they're not at the Superdome.
They're better than you think. Their record is better than you think on the road. It really is.
But
back and look at the standings over the last 2 years. Their record on the road is way, way better than you think.
That's fine and all. But this year, when they're on the road, the losses that they have are pretty, I mean, they're pretty embarrassing. I mean, today was 27-16. They scored 13 second-half points just to come back. They didn't get rocked, but they lost at New England, which I understand. But then you lose at New York against the Jets. You know? To me, when they're outside of the Superdome, they're a different team. That's why I don't think they win against Carolina.
They're better in the Superdome.
Yeah, well, like any team should be at home, unless you're the Cowboys. But, I mean, I think they lose next week against Carolina because of that fact.
I can taste your bitterness over here from the Cowboys.
Can you?
It's getting...
I'm hoping everybody else
it's
can.
It's getting to be
bitter,
a little much.
Bitter.
I would take New Orleans against either Chicago or Philadelphia. Give me New Orleans.
The AFC is getting very interesting because San Diego is throwing their hat in the ring. Pittsburgh is still in this.
Basically, it's only one spot.
Yeah, and it is only one spot.
New England, Cincy, Indy, Denver, KC are locks.
They're
going to
make it. Yep. Unless Baltimore wins, and then with two games to go, they're only a game behind Cincinnati.
That's
Cincinnati
true.
Needed to win tonight to wrap up the division, and they didn't, as we talk on the podcast. They lost to Pittsburgh, who still has a shot at this. I mean, the Jets are 6-8.
No, they don't.
Pittsburgh doesn't?
No.
If Miami, if everybody goes 8-8.
Well, they got a shot. Okay, they got a shot at that wild card, not
right.
the division.
Not the division, the wild card.
Yeah, I'm still taking Baltimore.
You think they win?
For that sixth spot.
Think they win on Monday night against Detroit?
Yes.
I think they lose. I think Detroit's...
Prime time in Baltimore, that's a game that well-coached team wins and that
Schwartz
a poorly coached team loses.
Yep, okay, that's a good point. I take back that. I immediately regret decision.
Get the sounder.
Let's see if I can find that one. I don't know if it's still on here. Oh, there it is. Hang on.
I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, that's me about, Baltimore. Yeah, hard to argue. If Baltimore gets in, it's very scary because...
Yes, yeah, you don't want to play them.
No. Playoff team, Flacco's a good quarterback in the playoffs. And they would probably get matched up with Cincy, which would be even better.
Oh, that would be great.
That'd be fun in Cincy. Does Kansas City... How good is Kansas City in your mind? Are they 11-3 good? And I know that's a weird question, but their schedule's been really cake.
So in a theoretical first round game, they'd be right now going on the road to
Indianapolis.
They're
a 5, Indy's a 4.
Yeah, yeah. Well, either Indy or Cincy, one of those two teams.
Well, they're going to be...
They both have the same... Indy and Cincy have the same record right now.
Right. Okay.
I would probably pick Kansas City over both of those teams. Jamal Charles had 5 touchdowns, including 4 receiving touchdowns today. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Hey, he was a stud. Yeah. He is a stud.
He is. I would take Kansas City over either Cincy or Indy.
Okay.
KC at Baltimore would be interesting. But KC over Cincy or Indy, I'd probably take KC.
He's a tough guy to figure out. Although Indy's got the better quarterback.
Do they?
Yeah. I think they do. I think Andrew Luck's a better quarterback.
I think he will be. This year, Alex Smith's been really good.
Consistent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be fun. We have 2 weeks left in the NFL. It'll be a good time. Let's address NBA, and I just came up with this question off the cuff. It's a simple question. It's been asked before. If you could only see one player play this year, who would it be? And who are they playing?
Oh, you're wanting an opponent even.
Yes. Because I think that juices it up a little bit. One guy this year, who do they play? And who is it?
That's a great question. That's a tough one to put on the spot.
I know.
I assume you have an answer to it because you're asking it.
I do, but there's a lot of people out there.
Because I'm almost tempted, just because there's not going to be a lot more opportunities, I'm tempted to say Kobe.
Against?
You want to pick the game, and Bill Simmons has written a little bit about this. There's always that game where the guy who's clearly done... Where he just has one of those throwback performances. You know,
right.
Like MJ, I think, had a 50-point game when he was with the Wizards and the All-Star game that he played in.
Right.
And it's just a matter of whatever that game is. I just want to see Kobe one more time in his glory. I'm trying to think of the opponent that would do it to him the most. I would normally say Garnett.
Right.
But that Nets team is such a train wreck. Have you, by the way, if you want some entertainment, watch Jason Kidd on the sideline during a Nets defensive possession.
What does he do? Not look?
Oh my! He's acting it out is not going to play well on a podcast. But he's got kind of his hands in the air and he kind of moves back and forth a little bit here and he's always like on high alert, like he's had a couple of too many Red Bulls. And he kind of keeps twitching and looking around all over the place. It's fantastic to watch, and that might almost be enough to sway it for me.
Just to watch the Nets?
Just to watch Jason Kidd on the sidelines. I would probably... I'd have to go Kobe against Miami.
Okay, is it going to be in Miami or in L.A.?
Oh, I want it in L.A.
Okay.
I want to see Jack. I want to see all the... I want to see the Hollywood that comes with LeBron James coming to L.A.
I want to see Steph Curry.
Okay.
And I don't know who or where.
See, the only reason I won't say Steph Curry is because... I can say Steph Curry next year. I don't know how many more years I've got to see Kobe, and I want to see him while I can, because
right. You're
talking about one of the top 10 players of all time, and to see him even in his state of not being a top 10 player,
right?
Even maybe even not a top 25 player now. I want to see him go against another guy who's going to be a top 10 all time player in LeBron.
I would, yeah, that makes sense. I would like to see Steph Curry because. The guy is the next thing. I think he's going to be, one of the top five NBA players when it comes time next year.
He's real close to being there already.
Right. But who do I want to see him against? By the way, Phoenix is 14-9.
That's fantastic.
They've won five in a row.
They're over under for the season. They're going to beat by
a ton.
Mid-January.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. Because if you're looking for just a game that you just want to see it just guns a-blazing, just shoot.
That's why I think this team and where makes sense. Knicks at the Garden.
Yeah, but the Knicks are bad on offense this year too.
That's all right. That gives him more opportunities.
Yeah, honestly, what might be a really fun game is Steph Curry at the Wolves.
That was another one I thought of, too.
I'd say probably in Golden State, because Golden State's home crowd is one of the, maybe the best in the NBA.
Right.
But that would be there would be many, many points scored in that game.
I would want to see him, though, at the Garden, because I think those fans, in my opinion, respect good basketball, maybe more so than other road crowds.
Yeah, there's a couple that are like that. I think they're like that. I think Boston's like that. To a certain extent, I think L.A. is, but yeah, that's a good point.
So I'd like to see him there. So that would be our NBA question. I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I'm looking at the podcast from last week. I'm looking at the email. Podcast from last week, we've got Bison coaches-related topics, which we covered. Troy, I don't know where you're from, Troy, but thank you for putting a comment, said... Five assistants were offered positions with Bull, but never reported who they were or what they were accepted. Or actually, it was who, but it was never reported that they accepted. We covered that. Marcus in Mayville, because we talked about Bull's kind of just the way he's going about becoming head coach. He brings up Al Golden at Miami, high school coach. He just kind of goes through his progression. The only difference there is Al Golden was coaching at an FBS level, and Bull has yet to do that until... right now.
Mm-hmm.
And their ages are a bit different. But, I understand where he's coming from. So, Marcus and Mayville, thank you. He says, I think this is a good point, though, at the end. Some guys coach into their 70s, so being a 55-year-old first-time FBS head coach isn't that old. It was brought up about Mac Brown, Nick Saban. Those two...
are like 2 months apart?
Are 2 months apart.
Yeah.
But who would you think is more spry, if you would, or younger?
Well, I think, and this is, I'm going to borrow from my boy Dan Patrick.
And that's why I bring this up.
Yeah, because he says, well, yeah, Mac Brown doesn't paint his hair.
Right. Exactly.
And, yeah.
So what's the difference? They're same age, but Mac Brown seems
older.
Other
than all the national titles?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get that.
other than that, what's the difference?
But, what I'm saying is that age, we always think Mac Brown's old. 61.
Yeah.
Nick Saban's same age.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd want Nick Saban. Mac Brown seems out to pasture. So maybe age is not a good factor for me to bring.
Age only matters when you're losing.
Right. And maybe it's not a good factor for me to bring up. However, when you are Craig Bull, it does matter. Because what success have you had and where have you had it if your next job is, say, Nebraska?
Yeah. But here's the deal is you don't hire coaches. I think 30, 40 years ago, you hired coaches wanting them there for 20, 30 years.
And right.
That's what you're hoping for.
Yep.
Now, realistically, if you can get a coach there for 6, 7, 8 years,
yeah,
you know what? You'll take that.
Yep.
You'll take that.
Yeah, I agree. So that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. This is the 023 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Again, email us, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, The Pinto and White Shadow Show. We're on KFGO.com. You can find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. I'm at PintoKFGO. Brad Jones is
at The Bison Guy.
Comment to us on our comments section. We've got Marcus Mayville. Now we have Troy from Parts Unknown.
I like it.
So thank you for your comments. Thank you for your questions. Big good one, Mariah Carey. Thank you so much for joining us and introducing us to the podcast. Brad Jones is just heart a flutter. Heart is a flutter. So next week we may be talking about NDSU going to Frisco or NDSU perhaps season over. Time to move on.
It's gonna be a fun podcast next week.
The fact of the matter is it's gonna be a lot about seniors' last game at the Fargo Dome. I really hope that Fargo Dome is a lot more electric than it was on Saturday. I do. And it felt a little bit electric on Friday. It's this Friday. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I would like it to be...
They'll be there.
...hanging from the rafters type of crowd. So
they get it. They understand the magnitude of this being these guys' last home game.
Hope to see you there. I know I'll be there. Brad Jones will be there.
I'll be there.
For Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson. Have a wonderful rest of your day.